Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here again to really dig into complex topics, pull out the key ideas, and see why they're relevant for you.
Yeah, and today we're tackling something pretty interesting, systems that change over time with, well, a fair bit of randomness involved.
Right, like think about how a disease spreads, maybe, or chemical reactions happening, things where what happens next only depends on the current situation.
Exactly. And chance plays a role, but the odds change depending on, say, how many people are already sick, or the concentration of chemicals. These are often modeled with continuous parameter Markov chains.
Continuous parameter Markov chains.
Okay.
And these models can get really powerful, but I guess the issue comes when you're dealing with huge numbers, like a massive population or tons of molecules, a big N, as mathematicians might say.
That's the heart of it. The full models, keeping track of every single individual or molecule and all the random jumps, it just becomes computationally, well, overwhelming for large N.
The state itself might be like counts divided by N, right? Mm-hmm. But tracking those discrete random jumps gets messy.
Precisely. It's a real challenge.
And that brings us to our source for this deep dive. Mm-hmm. A really important paper from 1978 by Thomas G. Kurtz, called Density-Dependent Markov Chain Approximations.
Ah, Kurtz, this paper. Yes, it really tackles that complexity. What Kurtz did was explore ways to use simpler models approximations for these systems when N is large.
Okay, approximations make sense. But what was so special about his approach?
Well, the crucial thing, the really big contribution, was providing rigorous ways to understand just how good these approximations are. Not just, you know, do they match on average, but looking at the actual paths the system and the approximation take.
Paths, you mean like the step-by-step evolution over time?
Exactly. He developed tools to see how closely the approximation's path follows the original complex system's path, moment by moment, and crucially, he quantified the error involved, pathwise error.
Okay, so that's our mission then. Let's unpack this paper. Understand the models, Kurtz's method for analyzing these pathwise errors, and what it all means if you're trying to model these big random systems in practice. Let's dive in.
Sounds good. So let's start with the systems themselves, these continuous parameter Markov chains. Time flew smoothly. But the state changes in sudden jumps, right?
Like one more person getting infected or maybe two molecules reacting?
Exactly. You see them everywhere in applied probability epidemics, chemical kinetics, population dynamics, you name it.
And the paper describes them using equations with Poisson processes. How does that work, sort of in simple terms?
Okay, imagine the system changing. The idea is that different types of events can happen. Infection, recovery, reaction type A, reaction type B, and so on. Each event type has its own sort of random ticker, a Poisson process.
Like independent random clocks.
Yeah, kind of. And the rate these clocks tick, the chance of an event happening soon, depends on the system's current state. More sick people might mean the recovery clock ticks faster, for example. And crucially, the rate is often scaled by that big parameter, N.
Got it. So the Poisson process tells you when a jump happens, and the rate depends on the current state and N.
Precisely. The math basically says the state at time t is where you started, plus all the changes from these random jumps driven by these state-dependent Poisson processes scaled by n.
Okay. Now, when n gets large, Kurtz looks at simpler models. The first one is the deterministic model.
Yes, that's the most basic simplification. It essentially averages everything out. It ignores the random jumps and just follows a smooth, predictable path based on the average rates of change.
So no randomness left, just calculus.
Pretty much. It's described by an ordinary differential equation, just tells you the instantaneous rate of change based on the current state.
Like watching the overall flow of a huge crowd instead of tracking each person's random jostling.
That's a great analogy. For really large N, that average flow often captures the main trend very well.
Okay. And the second approximation, a diffusion process, Zn.
This one's a bit more sophisticated. It's still continuous in its state, like the deterministic model, but it does include randomness.
Okay.
Not through discrete jumps, but through continuous random fluctuations. It's described by a stochastic differential equation, an SDE. It has a drift term, like the deterministic model's average flow, but also a diffusion term driven by Brownian motion.
Brownian motion, like random continuous wiggling.
Exactly. So if the Markov chain is sharp steps and the deterministic is a smooth line, the diffusion is like that smooth line, but with this constant random jiggle overlaid on it.
Interesting. It keeps some noise, but in a different form. Okay, now this is where Kurtz's work really shines, you said, analyzing the error. Before him, people mostly looked at convergence in distribution, What's the difference?
Right. Convergence in distribution is, well, it's weaker. It means as n gets large, the probability that the Markov chain is in some region is close to the probability the approximation is in that same region.
So the overall statistics match up eventually. Like if you run many simulations, the histograms look similar.
Exactly. It tells you about the long-run statistical profile, but it doesn't tell you if one specific path of the Markov chain stays close to one specific path of the approximation if they're driven by the same underlying randomness.
I see. It's about the collective, not the individual trajectory.
Precisely. Kurtz focused on strong approximation. This is much more powerful. It's about constructing the original Markov chain and the approximation, say the diffusion, on the same probability space using the same fundamental source of randomness.
Like building two models using the exact same dice rolls, basically.
That's the intuition, yeah. And because they're built together, you can directly compare their paths at every point in time. You can look at the actual difference, like XNT and NT, for a single realization.
And strong approximation aims to show that difference gets small.
Yes, gets small, almost surely, meaning with probability 1 as n increases. Mm. It's about the fidelity of individual paths, not just average distributions. Hugely important for understanding a single specific event, like one epidemic outbreak.
And you mentioned this uses embedding theorem, specifically Kolmogorov, Major, Desnoyers, KMT. How do they help?
Ah, the KMT theorem. It's a beautiful piece of math. It basically provides a way to link discrete jump processes, like the Poisson processes driving the Markov chain, to continuous processes like Brownian motion, which drives the diffusion.
It builds a bridge between the jumps and the wiggles.
In a sense, yes. It allows you to construct both processes using the same underlying random ingredients in such a way that their paths are provably close. It's the key tool that lets Kurtz build everything on the same space and make those direct pathwise comparisons.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's dig into the results. Section 2. The deterministic limit, comparing the Markov chain XNT to the simple deterministic model XT.
Right. So the first main finding here is pretty intuitive, but important to prove rigorously under fairly general conditions, basically, if the average rates don't behave too wildly.
Like being Lipschitz continuous, I think the paper says.
Exactly. If F in Lipschitz. Then, if the starting points are close, the path of the Markov chain, XNT, actually converges almost surely to the path of the deterministic model, XT, as n goes to infinity.
So the random path will almost certainly track the average path for large n. Confirms our intuition.
It does, but Kurtz goes further. Finding number 2 is the rate of convergence. Under slightly stronger conditions.
Conditions on the jump sizes and rates, I imagine.
Yeah, related to moments of the jumps, specifically involving sums of bull beta L. If those are finite enough, he shows the error, the distance, XNT, is of the order O first ARTN.
Okay, so the error shrinks as N gets bigger, proportionally to 1 over the square root of N. That gives a concrete handle on the error size.
It does. It tells you how fast it converges. The proof uses things like the law of large numbers for the Poisson processes, Grunwald's inequality to control error accumulation, and Martingale techniques. Standard tools, but applied cleverly.
Right. Okay, moving to section 3. The diffusion approximation, comparing XNT to ZNT. Yeah. This is where the KMT embedding really comes into play.
Absolutely. KMT provides the link, allowing XNT and ZNT to be constructed on the same space, driven by the same randomness.
And what does Kurtz find about the pathwise error here? How close does the chain stay to the diffusion path?
This is one of the really neat results. Under suitable conditions, again, Lipschitz properties, boundedness, he gets pathwise error bounds for XNT, ZNT. And importantly, for many common cases, like when there are only a finite number of possible jump types.
Like in many standard epidemic or chemical models.
Exactly. In those cases, the error is shown to be of the order O log NN, almost surely for fixed time intervals.
Wait, O log NN? Hold on. Log n grows much, much slower than n, and it grows slower than square tn, too. So
yeah.
Log nn is actually smaller than first square tn for large n, right?
It absolutely is. That's a key insight. This result suggests that the diffusion process ZNT is often a better pathwise approximation to the original Markov chain XNT than the simple deterministic model XT is.
Wow. Okay, that's big. So even though the deterministic model gives the right average, the path of the diffusion, with its continuous noise, might actually stick closer to the path of the original jumpy process.
Precisely. The structure of the randomness in the diffusion, even though continuous, seems to capture the deviations from the mean in the Markov chain more accurately, pathwise, than just ignoring the randomness altogether. Other conditions might give different bounds, like O log N squared N. But the core message is these pathwise bounds often favor the diffusion.
That really highlights the power of strong approximation. It reveals nuances you wouldn't see just looking at distributions. Okay, finally, section 4, central limit theorem results. What's the focus here?
So the CLT usually looks at fluctuations around the mean. Here, it examines the scaled difference. Score Tn times Xnt. We know Xnt approaches Xt, so this difference is small. Scaling by scored n magnifies these fluctuations so we can see their limiting statistical behavior.
Right, the standard scored n scaling. And what does this scaled difference look like as n gets huge?
It converges in distribution to a Gaussian process, let's call it Vt. This Vt is described by a linear stochastic differential equation. Its structure depends on the derivatives of the deterministic system's dynamics, the F function, and the same Brownian motions that appear in the diffusion approximation Znt.
So it describes the shape of the random noise around the deterministic average path in the limit. And how do the strong approximations from section 3 help get this result?
Or essential, you can write the scaled difference, square RTn, Xnt, Xtn, is the sum of two terms, square RTn, Xnt plus Znt, Xt, Xt.
Adding and subtracting the diffusion term.
Exactly. Now, the strong approximation results from section 3 tell us that the first term involving the difference between the chain and the diffusion goes to zero even after multiplying by square Rtn because Xnt, Znt shrinks so fast, like O log Nn.
So square Rtn times something like log n, that still goes to zero. That first bit vanishes in the limit.
Right, which means the limiting behavior of squarten Xnt is the same as the limiting behavior of the second term, squarten Znt Xt. And that term can be shown to converge to the Gaussian process Vt. The diffusion Znt acts as the crucial intermediate step.
That's elegant. The strong approximation cleans things up nicely. And the paper gives Bayesian-type bounds, too, for this convergence in distribution.
Yes, which is another nice refinement. It provides a rate for how quickly the distribution of the scaled error approaches the limiting Gaussian distribution. It might say the difference in probabilities is bounded by something like K log N, square Tn, giving a concrete measure of how good the Gaussian approximation is for finite N.
Okay, let's pull back. We've gone through the models, the Markov chain, the deterministic average, the diffusion with noise. We've seen Kurtz's big idea. Strong pathwise approximation using tools like KMT, and we've seen the results. The chain converges to the deterministic path with overture shear every error, but often converges even closer pathwise to the diffusion path, maybe O log N, and this feeds into understanding the CLT fluctuations. So, why does this matter to you, our listener?
Well, it fundamentally underpins our ability to use simpler models for really complex systems. Think about it modeling a nationwide epidemic or a large-scale chemical reactor or an ecosystem. Simulating the full Markov chain with billions of individuals or molecules is often just impossible.
Right. You have to use approximations.
Exactly. And Kurtz's work provides the mathematical justification and confidence for using those deterministic or diffusion models. The strong approximation part is particularly critical. Knowing the paths stay close means that if you run one simulation of your diffusion model, you can trust it represents a plausible trajectory of the real complex system.
It's not just about averages matching. It's about individual scenarios being well represented.
Precisely. And those explicit error bounds, the O first GRDN or O log NN, they're not just academic curiosities.
They're practical tools.
Absolutely. For any real system, N is large but finite. Those bounds tell a practitioner, okay, if my population size is N, this is the order of magnitude of error I expect if I use the deterministic model versus the diffusion model. It helps them choose the right tool for the job, balancing simplicity and accuracy.
Makes sense. It guides the modeling process based on required precision. Okay, let's try and summarize. We've journeyed through Kurtz's 1978 paper on density-dependent Markov chains. We saw how these chains model things like epidemics or reactions.
And how they can be approximated by simpler deterministic or diffusion processes when the system size N is large.
We focused on Kurtz's key contribution, strong approximation results, building the chain and its approximations on the same random foundation to compare their paths directly.
And finding concrete error bounds, like O first QRTN for the deterministic fit, and often better bounds, like O log NN for the diffusion fit, showing the diffusion can be a more faithful pathwise representation.
This provides the rigorous mathematical backing for much of modern simulation in science and engineering, allowing us to gain insights into systems far too complex to analyze fully otherwise.
It really does. It connects the microscopic random jumps to macroscopic deterministic laws and the fluctuations around them.
All right, let's leave you with a thought to chew on. When modeling a real-world system, large N, but always finite, you face a choice. the intricate detail and computational costs of the full Markov chain, the intermediate complexity of the diffusion, or the simplicity of the deterministic model. Each captures different aspects, especially regarding randomness and past behavior. How might having these quantitative rigorous error bounds, like the ones Kurtz derived, fundamentally change how a scientist decides which model is good enough for their specific purpose and their specific finite end?
It shifts the decision from guesswork or intuition towards a more principled, quantifiable trade-off between model complexity and guaranteed accuracy. Something to really think about when choosing your tools.
Indeed. If any of this sparked your interest, perhaps looking into how these models are applied in biology or chemistry, or even the math behind the KMT theorem, there's plenty more to explore out there.
Always deeper levels to dive into.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the mathematics of approximation. We hope it gave you some valuable perspectives.